All right, welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapies, and creative approaches to therapy. My name is Kate Shannon. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor as well as a board certified music therapist, and I am your host. Today's episode is a part two of our interview with Christiana Miner, who is a neurologic music therapist and one of my nearest and dearest best friends. If you haven't listened to part one, I recommend going and checking that out. It's going to make a lot more sense because we kind of dive right into in this part two, talking about why the personal is professional, having conversations about race, equity, and social justice within the creative arts therapy field. And Christiana, she is a neurologic board certified music therapist currently working in community-based services in Colorado. She is a cult and abuse survivor and is passionate about therapy, social justice, and amplifying marginalized voices as someone who holds marginalized aspects of her own. Christiana is, she is absolutely amazing, one of the most creative people I know. She is a music therapist, but she will talk about this at the tail end of the episode. She just released a coloring book, which is so phenomenal. She's so creative, and I can't tell you how much I love this coloring book. I really like coloring books. I use them often at the end of a session for not in session, but usually like as a boundary when all of my sessions are done and I've written some of my notes and I kind of want to decompress or just have a boundary from the end of my day going into my personal life after that. I like to color as a way to kind of separate that. And I'll also do that on the front end of my day if I am feeling a little anxious about starting a new client or anxious about a session. I will color before I go into session and kind of start my work day. And I really love coloring in general, you know, having different coloring books to do that. But what I love about Christiana's is that she pairs these kind of small mantras along with these really powerful images. And I didn't realize how much I wanted that until I saw how she did that in her coloring book. So for example, one of the first ones I did from her book was this really beautiful picture of a record player and all this kind of very beautiful design that's coming out of the record player. And it says, "Be heard." And as I was coloring it, I spent so much time thinking about being heard and how what do I value about being heard? When do I not feel heard? What does it feel like not to be heard? What do my clients feel like when they're not heard? How can I practice, you know, hearing others in important ways and, you know, curbing my enthusiasm so I can make sure someone feels heard? There was something that paired when she paired the image, the powerful image that is connected with those mantras and those kind of sayings, that was so powerful to me and just took coloring to this whole nother level. So I am so excited not only to use this for myself. I've already colored, I mean, probably like 5 or 6 of the pages in it. And I'll probably just keep coloring some of them too, because again, those sayings are amazing. There's one really beautiful galaxy one that says, "They say we are stardust and shine like it." And another one, "No one will silence me." I just love the powerfulness of these sayings. Not only, I feel like, again, for myself, as you know, using this in my own kind of self-care and working through my own stuff, but also in session. I feel like these are so powerful. Particularly, I'm thinking for a lot of the teens that I work with, these would be great things for teens to have, to be able, you know, having her book and that PDF in session is going to be stellar for being able to do in session, or if a teen wants to take it home, adults, anybody, even kids too. I think this could be really, really great for a lot of kids too. Great things to think about. So that is linked in our show notes. Again, that is called Delve, D-E-L-V-E, and it's available in PDF form as well as paperback. So there are links in there. It is amazing. You will have fun with it. Your clients will have fun with it. And it's Christiana's amazing work, which is just awesome. So I love the idea of supporting each other in our small field of creative arts therapists. When we can support each other, it is phenomenal when we can come together. So don't forget to check that out. There are also a bunch of other links in our show notes. Again, this episode is a little bit shorter so that we can hold the space that and reflection, I think, that a topic like this deserves. There are also additional links within the show notes specifically talking about the Israeli and Palestinian crisis. That was much more in the news last week, but it is still very much going on now. And it's really important that we understand what is happening and how this affects our colleagues and our clients as well. So there is information in the show notes there as well for that. All right, we're going to dive right back in here, and we are talking about the topic of diversity as therapists within our field, specifically music therapy, and how there needs to be more diversity in our field, and why isn't there, and why is there a major, major certain demographic that takes over the music therapy field, and how can we change that? So let's dive in.
I don't have words for it of how frustrating it is, especially to, yeah, when you're in the field, you know, a field that we have, you know, I think probably our, you know, therapists of color, you know, of who have different disabilities, who are neurodivergent. There needs to be more. I think we've known this so much too, that like our field is, there's way too much of just white people in our field as well.
A certain socioeconomic bracket as well.
Yes. Yes. And mm-hmm. that, you know, going into that too, of how much like it's so much not just about the people that are currently in it, but the people who are not in it and why aren't they and what's happening there.
Why aren't we welcome? Yes. Yes. Why? Mm-hmm. I've known so many folks who don't come from the classical elitist, you know, musical training that somehow is a requirement for so many music therapy programs, and they've had to fight for their place at the table. And I know what that feels like, to have to fight for my place at the table. How come everyone else gets this place set for them? How come we can't just welcome them all to the table? Here's your place for you. Yeah. And it's not fair to our colleagues. I've learned so much from them. So, so many people putting in this labor to educate the rest of us who don't have the experiences they have. And it breaks my heart when some of our colleagues just dismiss it.
Yes.
When someone has that lived experience, they are the expert in that lived experience, and you don't get to dismiss that. Not at all. Mm-hmm. And that includes our clients as well. I mean, I've had folks bring up news stories that they, you know, catch with all the current events going on, the protests, the shootings, the trials. I am so grateful that some of my clients, they feel like they can talk to me about those things and how they affect them. If we're not setting that space, that safe box for our clients to come in and be able to just rest in understanding and be able to express knowing that the box is non-judgmental and accepting, what are we even doing as therapists? Can your clients look at you and talk to you about these things that concern them? And if they can't, what do you need to do? What can you do to set that space where they know that those things are welcome? Folks with marginalized identities, they need to know that their safety and well-being are prioritized. They do. Not an afterthought. You fought your way to the table. Okay, I guess we'll let you sit with us. Oh, God. Oh, there is such a difference between mm-hmm. being welcomed and celebrated, or tolerated. And oftentimes that's what that whole like integration can be. So, oh, we'll let you be here in the same room with us. Are you actually valuing their perspective, their lived experience, their expertise, what they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set a place at the table. See what they bring.
I love the that whole analogy of the, you know, fighting for your place at a table when that space should be set for you, just like it is for everyone else. It's just such a beautiful way to see visual. I love visual stuff. Visualizing that is so, so powerful, to think of it that way. And thinking about, you know, how whether we're working on physical goals or, you know, I think especially as music therapists, a lot of times, like, we're doing communication skills and social skills and whatever. But this shit still matters. Like,
absolutely,
this is still priority number one, no matter what we're working on. And it has just not been like, it's just hasn't been there of like, oh, we just come in and do this stuff. And it's so, I don't know how we can call ourselves person-centered or client-centered if we're not literally putting the person first and setting that space and intentionally setting that space.
Intentionality. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saying, you know, I'm here for all of it. And, you know, intentionally, I think, yes, yes. Putting that space there.
Yeah. It's important. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Necessary. 100%. Mm-hmm. I feel like too, I'm thinking of, you know, some of the clients that we work with, especially as music therapists, some other creative arts therapists, maybe not as frequently, but our kiddos who are in wheelchairs and who use AAC devices, and maybe from what we can tell, cognitively are at a much lower age than they, you know, are chronologically, that we can tell, you know, or what we can assess at that time. We still have to bring this to the front of care. Like, no matter what, it's at the front. No matter who, no matter what is happening, like, that needs to be, that place needs to be set.
See the whole person and also the context that that person exists in. It all has to do with the work that we're doing, you know, in therapy. You have to. They can't help it, just like I can't help it when I walk into the room. They can't take those pieces of themselves and peel them off when they walk in the door. And so we can shake an egg shaker and like, nope, you're only here for fine motor movement and that's it.
Right. No. What kind of a relationship is that? Like, you know, like, come in and shake your shaker and goodbye.
And I've worked in settings where things get emotional and there's more verbal processing that happens. Because in some places you're with that client or patient in a very vulnerable time. I'm thinking of my experiences in hospice and addiction recovery. I'm working with abuse survivors and everything. They are in the most vulnerable place in their life, and it is a sacred responsibility to meet them where they are. That's what I believe. And if we're not providing that holistic view, if we're not meeting a client where they are, if we're not meeting a person where they are, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Not therapy. Well, we're kind of touching on this actually of, you know, our responsibilities as creative arts therapists, as music therapists, of promoting, advocating, intentionally setting a space with social justice in our work with people. Do you feel, besides that intentionality, setting that space within the session, do you feel that there's other responsibilities that we have as therapists in advocating and promoting social justice in our work?
I think we have to learn how to listen. And in general, listen way better than we have been.
Say it one more time for the people.
Be uncomfortable in your listening. It's okay. It is okay. And part of learning and growth. You want to develop as a human being. You can't just sit where you are, and growth, we know, is not a comfortable thing all the time. You have to stretch. You have to stretch. You have to fill up that space. You have to pop out of your comfort zone, pop forth from the bubble that you know, and listen to some people who have experiences different from your own, who look different from you, who hold beliefs that are different from yours. And even when it's uncomfortable, keep listening. Keep listening. And then that's, I mean, the listening also is not enough, but I think it's a good first step. Upon listening and learning, we have to take what we've learned and go do better. There are things that I do now as a person and as a clinician that I that wasn't even on my radar, you know, 10 years ago when I first started out. But I've learned since then. I've talked to some people since then. I've made some observations and thus made different decisions and decided, oh, you know what? No, eye contact is not a goal area anymore. Why? Why was it even in the first place? It shouldn't have been. Not at all. It's really hard, though, I think, for people to be willing to be uncomfortable. I'm thinking back of when I basically deprogrammed all the cult beliefs out of my own head. Oh, I had no idea which way was up and which way was down, Kate.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, I mean, in one sense, I was reeling. In the other sense, I'm like, freedom. But I think it's important that we step out of our comfort zone and ask questions. Be okay with making mistakes. We all do. We all are. Human beings full of mistakes.
Yes.
But we need to push to grow and to learn. We need to be okay with falling flat on our face sometimes. I mean, I know I've stuck my foot in my mouth more than once, and I might while I'm here with you. Okay.
Too many
folks who are listening, call me out on stuff. Man, I want to learn. I want to learn better and do better.
I'm going to plug this right here. That's why we have the anonymous survey in our show notes. So you can always feel free to do that anonymously if you are uncomfortable in doing that with an email. Call us out. Call me out. Give us feedback. That's why it's there. All the time.
I think the flip side of that has been one of my major frustrations with our field where people aren't willing. I've always been frustrated by willful ignorance, and I've had my fill of it. Yes. Not everyone left the cult with me. Not everyone left the cultic mindset with me. And it seems not everyone wants to move forward into a more equitable future for our field. But hopefully we can move things along anyway.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And I think too, especially for, you know, being a white person, for if you are white and you are noticing that you're defensive or you're being the stick in the mud with anything like this, I my biggest question is get curious about that defensiveness and resistance, because it's probably a protective thing of afraid of change, of getting hurt, of something happening that's connected with something else. But be curious about that. I think of, you know, haven't we all gone through internship where we're constantly forced to change and do better and every mistake is pointed out and we have to like, okay, let me sit there and yes, this sucks and it hurts and oh my God, it's uncomfortable. But like in the end, you're going to be a better music therapist. And this is part of that of like, you know, you did that there, you can do it here. It's just look into it, lean into the uncomfortableness.
I like that. Be curious. Always be curious. Yes.
Be
curious, be thoughtful. And be okay with the discomfort, because that's what happens. It's just it's just part of it, part of the process.
It is. Yes. Yeah. Good things come out of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I imagine when a flower pops out of a seed, it's not very comfortable popping that seed. It's probably a little painful, but That's how the shit blooms. I'm swearing a lot more in this episode than I normally do. But
I fucking love
it. I think it is the place. It's the place to do it.
Yes.
I always mark them explicit anyway. Okay. But, so we're going for it.
Okay.
Well,
this one is rated R.
It's rated R, yes. Yeah. So any of you 12-year-old music therapists who are listening. So sorry, but
for those of you listening with your children.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's marked explicit for a reason. I really love that this flow is just phenomenal of kind of where our conversation is naturally going of, you know, being curious, being hopeful, and kind of this other change and hope for a better field. And so I'm curious what your vision is and what that looks like and, you know, for a more equitable field of creative arts therapy and music therapy.
I think, honestly, like one of the simple, well, not simple, but one of the things that we've talked about already and touched on is looking at the demographics of our field. Mm-hmm. It's primarily white folks who are what, upper middle class, because mm-hmm. who can afford the classical musical training that generally in most music therapy programs is a requirement? Who can afford all those years of school? Who can afford to work for free for 6 months for oh internship? And some of us, I mean, I was lucky enough to have a stipend, but it wasn't enough to live on. No, mm-hmm. no, but I mean, I was grateful for it because some places had none at all. But I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot doing this. Yeah. Why?
Yes.
Why? I was one of those elitist classically trained musicians and I don't use it in my work. I just don't. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah. When's the last time Beethoven came to the session with me? Like...
Come on, dude.
Come on, man.
Bach fugue time.
Yep. Creepy organ sounds. We are seriously limiting our field because of these requirements. And I get it. You have to be a highly skilled musician in order to be a music therapist. You just have to be, because music is our modality. But do you have to be a classically trained one who auditioned and made it into a formal music program at the university level? No, you fucking don't, okay? You just don't. I don't use those skills in my work. I'm improvising. I'm playing mostly instruments that were not my major instrument at all. I had to pick it up real quick in practicum. I mean, many of us had to. Oh, yeah. Oh no, okay, how do we do these chords? How do we, you know?
My fingers won't listen.
My fingers are sore. Or me, I'd never really sung before until, damn. Yeah, it wasn't a thing. And I mean, I'm fine with it now and I love it. And I'm able to do it, you know, competently within my field. But this is so limiting to who we allow in to our ranks, who is providing services. And we could open things up so much more if we didn't have that as a requirement. And I know some programs are a lot more different, they're more lenient, I want to say. I mean, didn't you come from a more like jazz rock, mm-hmm. cool, you were way cooler.
Well, it was way cooler. Oh my God.
Still are.
I was playing in my nerdy bands with my bass at 13.
But
bass is cool.
It has a bass and right, yeah.
I know anything with a rock beat in the group I grew up in.
Oh,
was,
I was so, I would have been so evil.
I would not have been allowed to play with you, Kate. So I'm glad we play now.
I know. Every week. I know. We're making up for it
play
now.
Pretend.
Especially in our D&D things, it's when D&D. We are completely playing. Yeah. Oh man. I have actually recently, there was something that was in social media about programs, and I saw actually a few listed, specifically Berkeley.
Okay, yeah, Berkeley I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, of not having to be classically trained and beautiful. You know, being able to have some jazz training and stuff. I know for me it was always one of the things that was probably I had no classical, no, like, I took flute in school, but I am a terrible reader. I really cannot read music very well at all. I can get by on flute stuff. And I don't have to. Right? And I almost
When's the last time I used sheet music in the session? I mean, come on.
Right? I know. Looking at the notes, oh my gosh, not in years, mm-hmm. legitimately probably years. But yeah, I know that, you know, is a huge struggle of not being able to, you know, if you're a by ear musician, how do you show that in a classically trained program? So I wasn't able to show all of these other skills that I think are my foundation of being the music therapist that I am. I do remember in high school, my teacher having me I remember in high school, me and my friend who was a clarinet player, we would both try to go to each other's lessons to be like, let's just get out of class more and go to each other's lessons and then, like, you know, and mess around and see what we could get our teacher to do. And our teacher was like, cool, we'll do some duets. This is great. Yeah. So it was awesome.
Ensemble.
But there was this one time. Yes. And it was always fun. And we were still playing. So he was totally, I mean, he was getting buy-in from us and we were thinking we were smart ones.
He thought you were beating the system.
Right. And he's like, yeah, okay, guys, I'll get you to practice. But he had pulled out a clarinet piece and he was like, oh, I don't have the flute piece for this. And he was like, well, you know, you just basically have to play one note lower or higher. I can't remember. I think it's lower because they're B flat. You have to play one note lower than what she does. I did that only and the thing is like, it doesn't make any sense. I can't read music that well, but it's like the chord sheets and not the exact notes but it's more of like the relationship of stuff of like if I see three chord changes. Yeah. Or like the space between of like, I know this chord is just 1-3-5 in root position and the next one looks like 1-3-5-1 or something else. Like by looking at the chord shapes and different things, I'm like, oh, I can kind of figure that out by the way that it looks.
I love that though.
Which is not reading music.
But that's brilliance in its own way.
And that has phenomenally, and I have used that as a music therapist every day of being able to do stuff by ear and all of that. All of that to say, that was not valued until much farther into my program, was not really assessed in getting into school or anything like that. And it just shuts out so many people,
Absolutely. It does. And I mean, I pursued stuff like improvisation and jazz, in high school and through college, but my professors were all, really? You have to go to jazz rehearsal? Why? Excuse you, because it's amazing. Okay, thank you, bye.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's those improv skills, being able to kind of like glance and go, okay, I get the feel of this, and to go with it and improvise and play by ear and all these things. Those are the skills that have served me in my style of music therapy. And I really think we're limiting our so much of what we could be doing as a field of, we're limiting the caliber and diversity of therapists that we could provide for these clients who are also diverse and who could possibly benefit from somebody like that. So musical training for sure. I think we need to revamp how we look at that just across the board. I love hearing about other programs that don't have those requirements, or have different ones. I really think that we have to also look at the internship system.
Yeah.
And I know it's not limited to music therapy at all. I mean, I'm searching for the word here, but we're taking advantage of people in a way. Like, yes, you're here, they're here to learn and they're here to gain experience, but why do they have to work for us for free? Because they're working just as hard as we are.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I immediately just thought of how sweaty I was as an intern. Like how much I legitimately was sweating.
I get real sweaty still now. In my
That hasn't stopped. But
no.
But as a marker of that work, yes. Like, oh my gosh, so much.
I had a client's parent the other day go like, oh, you're just huffing and puffing over there, aren't you? I'm like, hey, I know this is telehealth, but I am still dancing right along with you.
I'm still getting a workout.
I am still doing cardio, just like you are.
Yes. Oh, and man. I love that.
I know that, like, I've seen the memes around of, like, if your company can't afford to pay a living wage, maybe you shouldn't be a company. I almost feel it should be the same attitude with internships. Quite honestly, it's like, if you can't afford to make sure that your intern can live and survive while they're in your program, bending over backwards to do all these things for you and also gain their credential, I mean, why do you want to use them? Why are they here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like even if that system, you know, I don't know how that could change, but the whole... Like, if they're, you know, if it's like an, right? Yes. Oh, my God. An externship where it's like you graduate and you have a conditional, like I know with licensure, you get a conditional license and, you know, you have to work under somebody and, you know, something like that where it's like you can still get paid for the services that you are doing, but, and maybe less, maybe that's at a different level versus you haven't been in the field very long.
You know, that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. But you're still getting paid and you still have very frequent supervision and whatnot to make that happen because it's just not... sustainable.
I know for me personally, like I was lucky in that I had an internship with a stipend and everything, but because of that system I ended up having to live with my abusers for 6 more months than I had to, and they took my stipend. Like, so I mean, for me it was like head down, survive until you can get out, but in my bizarre situation, but it's, I could have had a much better living situation and we could have so many great, wonderful people in the field of music therapy if we could tell them, hey, yeah, we can make sure that you can survive and live and eat and have a place to sleep while you're learning how to do this. Yeah, I really don't think it's fair that we ask for free labor.
No.
Whether it is the free emotional labor of our marginalized colleagues, you know, giving education to other folks that they don't really need to, or our interns who put in so much work and do such wonderful things and we're not giving them anything, saying, well, it's experience. Yeah. Don't you want to do it for the exposure? I mean, every musician is.
Right, yeah. There'll be a social media post about it.
Yeah.
That's so much exposure. There's, I think, so much in that of, I often think of where, I mean, I know our field has a lot of people who are into this, but I feel like it's still, there's probably so many more, again, for this reason of schooling and the requirements to get into school, but like our digital music people, like we have, you know, Technic is like an example of a ton of really great music therapists who are digital, who are putting stuff together. There's a couple different places too. I know Natasha Thomas does some of that as well, but like there are so many people out there who would be amazing music therapists who are probably making all of their music digitally, and maybe they don't play guitar or sing, but mm-hmm. would be phenomenal additions to our field and aren't there.
They don't fit that box that we've set.
Mm-hmm,
of
this
somehow
box.
You need to...
Yep. Oh, you're a square peg. This round sorry. Hole. Yeah.
I admire that whole area so much because I know so little about it. That's not my background. That's not my training. That's not something I've experienced in. And I wish I did. Mm-hmm. I wish I did because I'd be a better musician for it. And so I admire and respect them so much.
Same.
And they need a place set at the table for them. They need to be welcome to the table of music therapy. Yes. Not have to fight for their place. Not be given scraps. Not be, you know, like, okay, you can sit with us, but we won't really listen to you.
Right. And you're never really good enough anyway because you don't, you know, can't do XYZ or RXYZ. So then, holy moly. Yeah. Well, as we are coming to the end of this episode, I again want to thank you so much for, number one, the emotional labor that you have put into this episode, sharing all of this with our listeners and your time and energy. That is beyond appreciated, and I am endlessly grateful for that. So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I want to plug one thing also before we go, at least one more thing. If listeners, first of all, want to get a hold of you, if they have questions for you, if they want to reach out to you, how can they get a hold of you? What's a good way to do that? Email?
Probably email. Yeah. Email. Which is just my name. You can, ChristianaMiner@gmail.com.
I will put that in the show notes. And you recently put together a beautiful book of your artwork. Yes, this is a music therapist who put together a book of artwork because that's how creative you are. Can you share just a snippet of your book that you just released that is new and it's right there?
Yes, it is. Well, as someone who a few years ago was struggling a lot with health issues, with a lot of the trauma still working through that, I felt really sick, essentially, a few years ago. And what I turned to was, I called it doodling. And I just kept doodling. We'd be watching TV and I'd just be doodling. And I found all these different images and phrases that were just honestly messages I was trying to tell myself through the process of working through trauma, of healing, through pursuing better wellness and health for myself, even when I felt like death. And I compiled them into a coloring book of sorts, and I've advertised it as a coloring book for people who've been through some shit, because that's what it is. That's what it is. And it's just my doodles that got me through, essentially. And you can see a little bit of my own journey, I think, in the images, in the phrases. I just really had little snippets of things that resonated with me, that helped me. Like, you know, everyone deserves nurturing, even me, even you. I have one of like a jellyfish here, because I think I had just been to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago.
Nice.
And it's my favorite thing to look at, to watch the jellyfish. Oh. And I was like, you know what? Those things are terrifying. They are. Because some of them can kill you just by touching you
very quickly
or be very painful, an experience not to be forgotten, but they kind of just go with the flow anyway. And I don't always have to be striving and pushing and strong arming my way and making myself go through life by sheer willpower alone, which was my attitude for a while. I can still go with the flow and be a terrifying badass. So,
yes. Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Yeah. Yes. So that just actually got officially up for sale today, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I cannot say enough about it. Like I think I've used a lot of different like coloring books or different things like that. And I've liked them a lot. I find them very like grounding for myself. But in particular, your phrases in combination and connection with the art is so much different and just adds like, I feel like a much more healing. I've found that more healing than just like kind of mindlessly coloring. The phrases that go along with those pieces in your book are so much more healing centered, I've found, than, you know, just pictures, which are great too. But yeah, like,
I mean, coloring is great. The artistic thing, it's so grounding to just have that paper.
Repetitive and, movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I feel, has that extra oomph to it. I left a lot of empty space as well, like around the margins. There's not images and tiny details crammed into every corner like I see in a lot of coloring books. Mm-hmm. I wanted to leave space for other people to process as well, to doodle what they wanted, to add what they wanted. You can use it to just scribble your own thoughts, your own ideas. Yes. Make it what you want. It's a collaboration.
Yes.
We fight our demons together, man.
100%. It is going to be a staple in my therapy room now. So there will be links to Delve that will be linked in our show notes. For
that would help if I mentioned the title.
I thought you did. I didn't even know. Okay.
Delve, the coloring book. There we go. Edit that in real quick.
Yeah. Bloop, 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 bloop. So I will link to that, both the, cause there are two versions. There's like the printed book version as well as the awesome, you can just download it as a PDF.
As a PDF, you can use it, any PDF editing app, or you can print it out, pick your favorite page.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love it.
Put it in your office, use it with clients.
Yeah. For myself and for everybody. Yes. I love it. That will be in our show notes for our listeners so they can support you in the awesome work that you have done too. So
thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you again for coming on. This was just beyond amazing. And I can't thank you enough.
Again, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
I get to see her tomorrow anyway to play D&D.
I know. You thought we were silly now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we were so tame. This is so like lid on it. We've got the lid on it today. All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Christiana. I would like to invite you again to please feel free to use our anonymous survey. If you have feedback, if you have constructive criticism, we would like to hear it. We're all for it. I am always for, that's why that survey is there. So please use it if you feel the need. And I really want to hear that feedback on how we can be better. If you have the emotional the spoons to do it, then I would love to hear it. And also always feel free to just shoot me an email, kate@creativetherapyumbrella.com. And I would love to talk that way and connect that way as well. I also encourage you to go check out Christiana, reach out to her, support her, and check out her awesome coloring book. Again, it's amazing and can be used not only for yourself, but within your sessions too.
Don't forget to check out the show notes for everything else that is included in there as well. Sending you lots of warm thoughts right now in the beginning of May, and hope that things are starting off well for you wherever you are in the springtime, if it's spring near you, if it's a different season. Whatever season it is, I hope that that season is treating you well. Again, always feel free to reach out. I love hearing from you, love talking with others. Take care and be creative.